Now, Father, I'm glad you didn't give us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love, where we can cry, "Our Father." Lord, I dread what I'm fixing to do if it were not for your promises. You said you'd be with us. And dear Lord, thou dost know better than any preacher in this world that when a preacher stands to speak for God, he better have God's help. And I pray for that divine help. I implore thee for thy help tonight. I realize, Lord, that the great audience is out in radio land. And so many in sick beds, hospital rooms, cars, listening wherever they may be in places of business, laundries. Father, I pray that this message may be heard and heeded tonight. Give us seriousness of soul. Give us the proper spiritual intent. Give us the right motive, and method and message and mission in life. Bless our guests and visitors. Help us, Lord, to know that life is not to be trifled with. And help us and remind us tonight we pass this way one time and that's it. And everyone must give an account to God for the deeds done in the flesh. Bless our waiting congregation. And help me, Lord, to know how to start and when to stop and what to say in between time. In Jesus' name, amen. Have your Bible. Turn to the book of Psalms. It'll be the 9th Psalm. The 9th Psalm. Verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Didn't say some of them, said all of them. All the nations that forget God. Would you let me add two scriptures now, and then we'll come to the subject that we've announced for a week. As it was, Matthew said, as it was in the days of Noah, even so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. If you were to read the 6th chapter of the book of Genesis, you'll find that imaginations were evil always, continually. The sons of God saw the daughters of men, and that they were fair on the outside. And they chose wives, plural. Violence covered the face of the earth. Giants in the earth. Men of renown. Great in the eyes of the world. He said it's going to be like that again, just before Jesus comes. Luke said, as it was in the days of Lot, even so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Lot lifted up his eyes and looked at grass. And said, that's good enough for me and my cattle. Old righteous Abraham said, all right, that there be no conflict or feuding between our cowboys. You may make your choice. He made it. And he made it for grass. Abraham looked away farther than his eyes could see and took a look at grace. Became the friend of God and the father of the faithful. The Bible said Lot pitched his tents toward Sodom. The Bible said he dwelt in Sodom. That's where the word sodomite comes from. That's where homosexuals were mentioned. That's where men tried to rape angels from heaven. Men. They were not girls. They came when the angels came and visited Lot. And Lot said, and Lot still had enough of what Abraham put into him to know he had heavenly company. He still had enough respect for God to say, come on and go home with me. And they said, we'll dwell in the streets. Let me ask you a question. I believe I'm just going to put it in slow gear tonight. We need to take time to listen and see what's going to be said in this message tonight. How many reckon of your homes are in shape to really welcome the angels from heaven? Did you know they were very reluctant? Abraham had no trouble. They didn't say we'll dwell in the highway. He just went in, they ate with him, had a big time, and walked off and said, you know, we ought not to even keep a secret from him. I mean, we can tell him all of heaven's secret. We can trust him. And they went back and they told him, said, Abraham, we thought we might as well tell you, we're on an arson assignment. And said, fact is, we're going down to burn Sodom and Gomorrah. And we're going down, and you know what? He said, now, what about the righteous? I got some kinfolks down there. Well, he said, how many do you think you got? He said, maybe 50, I guess, maybe. At least 50. Old Brother Lot, I told him to win souls. I'd rascal, he better win 50. Well, he said, man, if we find 50 down there, we won't burn it up. Abraham said, hold on. I said, that may not be old 45. Well, he said, if I can find 45 righteous, that's enough to save the whole thing. If they're really righteous. And he said, what about 40? He said, that's okay. What about 30? What about 20? And man, he went down to just so long. He said, I know good and well it'd be. But he quit asking before God quit giving. And he got down there and they didn't even have a dozen righteous people. And brother, let me tell you something. Lot had a pretty big family himself. They got down there and Lot sitting in the middle of the gate. I mean, he must have been the mayor or some influential political leader, one of the city dads, and he was sitting and he saw the angels coming and he recognized that they were from heaven and said, you must go home with me. And he said, no. But after much persuasion, the angels went home with Lot. And here's your sad story, brother, right here. I guess a little after dark. And I imagine if Lot had had a telephone, he called up his wife and said, hello, honey. I've really got some guests tonight. You might ought to take a few things out there from heaven. And she probably could have said, oh, yeah. Who you think you're fooling? No, they're from heaven. We got angels. We got some men that have come all the way from heaven. They got a message for us tonight. But anyhow, they got out there and got in the house. I imagine a little after dark. Hey! Lot! I can see old Lot begin to blush, can't you? Oh, he knew who that was. Hey! Old bass voice. Hey! What? Boy, they started hollering. He said, y'all excuse me. I'll be right back. And he eased over there. Shh! Be quiet. I've got angels here. Heavens! Come to see me.
Said, we don't care, said, bring them out that we may know them.
There's your homos. Aren't they men? Yes, they're men. Bring them out. We want to know them. Brother, that's a sinful knowing for that bunch. Read it in your Bible. Young man got married. He knew his wife, and she conceived and bore a child. We want to know them. We'll rape every one of them. That's it. Brother, what we got taking place in this country tonight would embarrass Sodom and Gomorrah. Anita Bryant just came to Houston just to make an appearance, and 4,000 bold homosexuals marched down the street just in protest of her being in Houston. 4,000 of them. They're rejoicing, they say, and they were coming out of the closet. Boy, I tell you, they ought to stay in the closet. Amen. And somebody ought to lock the door. What does this mean anyhow? It means that soon they say, listen, Brother Cameron and I were talking the other day. Every nation that's ever been destroyed was destroyed because of its homosexuality and drunkenness. There's no nation that can last very long after homosexuality is recognized, glamorized, and rights are given to that kind of living. Now, I said I was going to talk about the loneliest man. I have some things I want to share. Here's his testimony right here. I'll read it in his own handwriting. Very lovely writing. Dear Brother Olaf, first of all, I'd like to say that I've been listening to you on the radio for many years. I've enjoyed your programs. You're doing a great work. And I think you're a terrific man. I agree with you when you tell us what a rotten world we live in today. The unbelievable things that are happening around us. I'd like also to talk about this so-called gay life. I'm 51. A World War II veteran, ex-paratrooper, and I've been a homosexual for 31 years. I've cried many times. At present, the gay activists are acting up against Anita Bryant. They're trying to make everyone believe that gay life is so wonderful. Well, Brother Olaf, please don't believe it. I know all the ins and outs of this life. And I'm telling you honestly that it is a rotten, miserable, lonely life. It may be exciting. You listen to this, and this is what's ruining our young people. This is what's going to get them right here. This is where the welfare needs to go to work if they want to protect children. They don't need to invade homes like ours and close them down and harass us and lie about us. Listen to what he says. Remember how old he is? 51. It may be exciting when you're young. But after 50, they don't want to have anything to do with you. They can be very cruel. I despise them even though I'm one of them. I'm not the obvious kind. Nobody could tell that I am. They won't admit what an unhappy life it is. They want to go too far, just like the women and their ERA. I cannot believe that the Episcopal Church has ordained a lesbian as a priest. To me, it's most disgusting thing. I no longer have any respect for the Episcopal Church. The children today are very bad. I hear youngsters use all sorts of bad words that I don't use even myself. And the long-haired, effeminate-looking men today are repulsive-looking. A man should look like a man. And that's the testimony of a man that's been engaged in that abnormal sin, that nation-wrecking sin, for 30 years. He said, I'm a lonely man. And I want you to get one thing, and this is exactly what's going to wreck the minds of our young people. He said they don't want an old man after he passes 50. They want little children. They like a little child 6 and 7 and 8. And yet, there's a move on now for homosexuals and lesbians to adopt children. And you watch the men, they always want a boy. And if this nation doesn't do something about this soon, our days are numbered. Our doom is sealed. Other clippings that have come to my attention, it ought to alarm all of us tonight, is mass murders are now suspected. The killers, they said, are homosexuals. Never have we known of such mass murders as we've known in the last 5 years. So many people have been, and they call it normal. They say we have rights that need to be respected. Strange things. This is, the pastor said God ordered it. Dad says after cult drowns kids. Listen, we felt a little bad about it, but the pastor said God ordered it. And a member of a religious cult, police say, is responsible for ritual drownings of 8 children. 8 little children were drowned because the pastor said, God told me to tell you to do it. And so they went ahead. Strange things happening. There's a picture of the lesbian, the homosexual, the sinner. And this is what it says. Attention has been drawn to the ordination because this lady or this woman has not made a secret of her homosexual orientation. However, her personal life has never been under criticism. Many persons with homosexual tendencies are presently in the ordained ministry. This woman's candor in this regard is not considered a barrier to ordination. Notice, she's highly qualified intellectually. She's highly qualified morally and spiritually to be a priest. Well, you're listening tonight to some things that you said could never come, and yet they're here now. I don't see how this could be so. It's the reason I've lost all confidence in the word minister. The press either likes to call you doctor or rabbi or minister or reverend or the right reverend. I've never met a right reverend but what he was a wrong one. Never have. Here's where a preacher, and I'm going to read this, a 1,800,000 member denomination debated for 5 days at its General Assembly in Washington, D.C., before endorsing resolutions to support civil rights for homosexuals and to accept a controversial study suggesting the Bible should not be the sole norm in judging Christian sexual relations. And notice where last week members of the United Presbyterian Church in the USA, convening at a General Assembly in Philadelphia, voted to continue a 2-year study on homosexuality. Now that bunch of nuts. Brother, no man of God would have to discuss it over 2 minutes and then condemn it. 2 years to study sin. This nation's crazy. And yet, a bunch of people out across radio land still go to a bunch of modernistic, devilish cuss like that. You get mad at me all you want to, but one of these days, brother, my stock's going to rise. You can cuss and spit and sputter and raise Cain and call me uncharitable and hard to get along with. But let me tell you something. If my heavenly Father looked down and saw 2 cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, in homosexual living and sought to rape heaven and burn them off the face of the map, he hadn't changed his mind. Amen. And for us to talk about recognition of such sinful practices in this country, how low we've gone into sin. Now I want to discuss something else. I don't know why all of us wouldn't have convictions. I mean, preachers, I don't know out in radio land, why don't you warn your people? The number one enemy to little boys right now is homosexuals. That's what the paper says. That's what California says. That's the reason they say they lose 30,000 a year, little boys, in Los Angeles. Boy, that's a herd of them. And isn't that something? And the report says they're between the ages of 6 and 10. There's some tie-ins in this sinning people and generation and perverse and crooked and polluted generation. There's some tie-ins. We started off by licensing liquor in the 30s. Mr. Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, "Gonna fix it where every man can place his foot on the bar and drink all that he wants legally." His dear wife, Sister Gadabout Eleanor, said, "Every girl needs to know how much liquor she can hold. She needs to know how not to get drunk and lose all her senses." From that day until this sad, dirty day, we've gone no way but down. Second, there came hell's ambassadors over to this country. They called them
beetles. Amen. And they taught the boys how to wear long, shaggy hair. Mop tops. They taught young people to play rock and roll racket. And that jungle rhythm began to capture the brains of the young people. They turned on their parents and said, I hate you. They turned on God and said, I hate you too. They taught them how to be immoral, jerk off their clothes while they're playing, fall out and swoon and lay there like a bunch of dirty, mangy dogs. Immorality is everywhere. They learn how to live like that in the parks. There's no respect to anybody. Just lay out, take your blanket along, your quilt along, throw it down and say, come on! We don't care who comes by. No respect. That came from the Beatles. That came from your rock and roll. And then, along with that came marijuana and dope of every kind. And then the young people are gone. Have no more control, no respect, no conviction, no standards, no immorality. I'm going to say something I've never said. There are no standards of holy living left in this country for young people. And this is the astounding statement. There's something good about dope. You know what it is? It sterilizes the boys and girls and keeps little babies from being born without arms and without eyes. And with their face twisted. That's the best thing I know about dope. It serves as a preventive pill because it kills out the organs on the inside. And every dope addict had rather have a shot of dope than any girl on the face of the earth. Pastor Neil Seller. She may be his wife. She may be his girlfriend. He'll go steal at night and rob me. And said, hit the street and get you some customers and come back with. That's all over this country tonight. And every one of you know it so. There's no morals left anymore. At a wrecker nation, she's gone. It's only a matter of time. No nation that I've ever read of in history, including the Word of God, including Sodom and Gomorrah, no nation has gone as far publicly in homosexuality as America has. Russia hadn't. They'd probably kill him in Russia. But America, a so-called Christian nation, has taken off all the controls. And now then they parade and have their meetings, and the Beatles and all the rock and roll orchestras and all the money-making outfits. The richest people are the people that are on dope tonight. I'm talking about the bands that come to play. I can take this little sweet bunch of girls into town singing like a bunch of angels. Stand up there as pure as the snow on the top of Mount Everest. And yet the young people won't come. Oh, no, they won't come. Mothers and dads come and old folks come and said, isn't that marvelous? But the young people, they could care less. A bunch of squares. I could take them into town with a bunch of old ragged, sloppy jeans on, old shirt tails hanging out. Come a slopping in, you know, and swaggering and twisting their old bodies, you know. Empty the... Oh, man, they said, I said, oh, boy, bunch of crazy nuts. How little old girls get up there and sing about the lovely name of Jesus and give testimonies, and the young people cut them off. And brother, that's going to cut America off. Now, one other thing I want to say.
And this, you know, we're living in the day. Now, the Bible says, and maybe I better ask you just to go ahead and read it right out of there, Romans chapter 1. I guess America ought to read this every morning for breakfast. I wish the president would read this to his committee every day. I wish this would be printed on the walls of the White House and Congress and everywhere else. Romans chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading at verse 22. This takes a snapshot of America in this verse here. I think it's an enlargement. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate man to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I believe preachers need to warn the people today about the possibility of a reprobate man. Did you know that when a man reaches the stage, and it doesn't have to be an age, but the stage of a reprobate man, he's crossed the deadline? Did you know that's one reason that television... And I got another clip in here. Got 22,000 doctors have just gotten through making their study. That's a flock of them. Boy, if I live long enough, I'm going to get encouraged before it's over. Boy, you think of 22,000 medical men lining up with me. I mean, we're pulling on the same rope. They made a public declaration that television is the health hazard for children. Now, coming for 22,000 physicians and doctors and men up in authority and working on little bodies all the time, they said television has wrecked the health of little children. And yet, the welfare department thinks we ought to have television to wreck our children with. Brother, it don't make sense. You mothers and dads out there, I'd rather have my little children surrounded by rattlesnakes. And I have no particular love for rattlesnakes. But I'm just simply saying, dear friend, we've just somehow turned our children over to the vultures called progress. School teachers will tell you there's no way to control their children. Hyperactive, dumb, rebellious, mean, violent, and they say they got it watching TV. They fired on NBC the other day because some little children raped a little girl with a bottle because they saw it on television. And they fired on the people that put out the poison. I don't know why they can't win. A reprobate mind. What is it? What is a reprobate mind? Now then, I got good news for the Christian. You could never have a reprobate mind. There's no way. I believe people with reprobate minds are already scheduled, and reservations have sent in to hell for them. They're already gone. There's no man in this audience or out in radio land that can have a reprobate mind except a lost man. But I warn you one thing. If I were lost tonight, it would scare my shoes off of me, lest my mind become reprobate. You'd say, well, why, Brother Olaf? It's because I just read to you three times. God said, I'll give you up. I'll give you up, and I'll give you up. You can get into unclean learning, unclean living, and unclean loving. And he said, that's it. You've had it. Learning, living, and loving, and your mind. And he's talking about homosexuals, and that's unclean so-called loving. And that'll ruin your mind. That's what even the psychiatrist said, no hope. How many times they've said to dads who brought their boys to me and said he's a homosexual, I've carried him to the psychiatrist, I paid him the bill, and he said, have to learn to live with it. Once a homosexual, always a homosexual. My brother, there's only one way. You get this. And I'm warning the people out in radio land because many hundreds of thousands will be listening. If you are a homosexual, that is the one sin that's mentioned in the Bible that brings about a reprobate mind. Now, that does not mean that every homosexual has a reprobate mind and lost forever, and hope it doesn't mean that. But I tell you what it does mean. It means that you're on the way, and you better turn or burn. Because, brother, we might as well face it. When God gives you up, there's no need anybody else hanging on. You can pray, you can scream, you can holler, and people can pray for you and work with you. But when that mind gets reprobate, it cannot retain God in the knowledge. And God said, I'll give you up. I'll mark you off as dead. You can live a while longer down there, but hell is your home. Brother, there never has been in the history of America, and I doubt if in the history of any nation, when there were as many reprobate minds as we've got in this country. Washington, publicly announced, ordained as preachers and priests, and homosexual churches announced, come and worship with us. We're not ashamed. This is normal. We're people just like anybody else, and ought to be reckoned. Folks, America is in the last days of her existence. When we reach the stage we've reached of sin. Amen. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. If America has forgotten God, It'll not be long. Articles like this: boys home for fire to convicted. A priest who ran a home for wayward boys was convicted Friday night of committing homosexual acts with young residents and of filming the acts as the boys engaged in the orgy. After deliberating slightly more than an hour, a jury of 10 men and 2 women found the Reverend in that pitiful. That's God's name. Sticking that on a homosexual. Guilty of committing crimes against nature on 3 juvenile boys in his care, and of 5 counts of aiding and abetting such crimes by photographing them. The 48-year-old priest, dressed in dark blue business suit, sat grimly behind his 3 attorneys. I didn't know an attorney would represent one of them. Boy, they used to not represent him. Wasn't enough money when I was born to make an attorney go represent a fellow like that. As the jury foreman intoned that the Reverend should serve 5 to 10 years for each of the 3 convictions for crime against nature. On each of the other 5 convictions, the jury recommended sentences of 10 to 15 years in prison, imposing the full maximum and exercising its prerogative to double the minimum sentence. Thank God for trial by jury. I close the message tonight by saying, you may be, or have tendencies to be, an abnormal indulger in this end-time sin that precipitates the coming of our Savior and Lord. But if tonight you have not gone so far as to have a reprobate mind, and the very presence of you in my audience tonight would indicate there's still hope for you. The very fact that you're listening on the Family Altar program right now to this Sunday night service would give me courage to believe there must be hope for you. And I'm not one of these fatalists or psychiatrists that say there's no hope. There is hope. I know one thing: if you can think and retain Jesus and listen and repent and pray and say, God be merciful to me, a sinner, he'll come a running to your side. And though sometimes the messages like these may seem a little dismal and dark, there's a ray of hope, dear friend, and that's Jesus is willing and able and mighty to save to the uttermost those who come to God by him. But I want to say one more thing. I believe, and I've never said this before, but I believe that a Christian can get so wayward and so worldly, and he can become so disobedient to God, he can get so far away from the Word of God and refuse to pray and confess and rededicate and renew his vow to God. I believe that he can be cut off by the Lord. Not that he'll go to hell, but it'll just be better for the Lord's work to get rid of him. And brother, that's scriptural. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And there is a sin unto death. And you don't have to pray for that. It's too late. And Christians, I warn you tonight, we're living in a day when people have given allegiance and time and money to worldly things. Churches are empty on Sunday night across this country. Yonder in California, they got a big sign on a church lawn. In front of the church said, Gateway to Heaven. Down underneath said, Closed, June, July, and August. I'm glad God hadn't closed his doors. I'm glad Jesus keeps his business open 24 hours a day. Yes, tonight, He's saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I have a poem written by my good friend Bill Harvey. I close with this. To Rufus, from his father, Simon the Cyrenian, who bore the cross for Christ. Rufus, I bore a cross today for a man who died for me. His feet left blood tracks all the way from the wounds that I could see. My son, I'll never be the same. I still feel the weight of that old cross. The way he was treated was a shame, Rufus. Today, we've suffered such loss. Rufus, I stood nearby today when we got up to the top of that old hill. And on the cross, he quietly lay, and as a lamb, was completely still. My son, he did not say a word. In amazement, I was numb, uncomplaining, as a lamb unstirred. He was unoffending and dumb. Rufus, I crouched near the cross today as he was lifted high, and nothing could make me go away before I saw him die. My son, I heard his constant prayer, not prayed so he would live, but oh, it was prayed that while he hung there, that his father would forgive. Rufus, I knelt at that old cross today and trusted the Savior there, when to a thief I heard him say, my paradise I will share. My son, I would ever carry his cross gladly, without shame. Rufus, he saved me from all my sin, and Jesus was his name. Do you know him tonight? Have you ever been saved? Have you ever surrendered your little rebel life to Jesus? To him we'll all give an account one of these days. I give you the last word. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart. You'll find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's stand. In a moment, we'll be singing the invitation Jesus gave in Matthew 11. And he said, come unto me. Tonight, whatever your spiritual need is, God will meet it. If you'll come and humbly bow and say, Lord, have mercy upon me. Our Father, take this message tonight and use it. Warn your children about carelessness, littleness, ugliness, sin. And Lord, pull at the old sinner's heartstrings tonight and help him to know that he's a prospect for a reprobate mind. And he's also a prospect for salvation. And I pray tonight that they may come to stand and claim the promises of the Lord Jesus. God bless these that are coming already. Strengthen every life and give us a response tonight that will honor God. Help us to hate sin. Oh, may we hate sin. Bless our visitors and our guests. Bless those with whom we've dealt today. God, be merciful tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hear the blessed Savior call. calling thee. Come on.
Oh, you have me.
Come on to me. Disappointed, wandering here and there, dragging your chains of doubt, loaded down with care, your unholy feelings struggle in your breast. Why don't you bring your case to Jesus? He will give you. Come on. Sing one stanza, Just As I Am, with that one. Don't try to get any better, you won't make it. Don't try to improve any, just come on to Jesus like you are singing. Just as I am. What that thy blood who was shed for me, and is that Father, we thank thee for all these precious friends that have come tonight. Dear Lord, straighten out these old minds of ours and help us to think right. Help us to thank Jesus and to thank his word. Lord, you said, I thought, psalmist said, I thought on my way and turned my feet to the testimonies of the Lord. Lord, I pray that there's some 180s being made tonight. People are turning around and getting blessed, and thank you, Lord, for this day and the many wonderful blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.